Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listing Podcast. I'm Stu Whiffin, sitting opposite me as ever via the means of Zoom Media from sunny hipster Margate, Christopher William Glasson. Good morning.
AKA your morning alarm.
You was. You're so pleased that I've got something wrong, ain't you?
You really fucked up, didn't you?
Yeah,
I did. You really fucked up.
Like, oh yeah, all manner of things. So to clarify, I thought we was recording with Defa Guitar Pop this morning at 10 a.m. Saturday morning. It's next Saturday, and we was going to record that, and then we was going to record one afterwards, Chris and I, which is now going to be the one that we're recording now. Normally, I'm up and about quite early, and all
You've
set
gone
up
for a run with the dog.
All of that. I've been awake about 20 minutes. You woke me up by phoning me up, didn't you?
2 minutes to ten. Just thought, better give him a quick nudge.
Yeah.
Hello? Oh, what is it? What time is it? Where am I? It was literally that. And you had been in a deep sleep. I respect you for picking up the phone, you know, just like you just went straight into business mode. What's going on?
Well, the reason being is The Pink Toothbrush reopened last night, my club. So it was so mental and wonderful. And I'm not used to going to bed at 4 a.m. I'm not used to I'm not used to standing up from like 9:30 till 3:30. Like just literally being on my feet. And it was a roadblock. So it was lots of kind of, you know, we was all a little rusty, so we was all just trying to remember what, you know, how we do these things. And
well, I had to stand on the door.
We'll manage the queues and get people in, and right, everybody was coming in, and they'd have to go to the cloakroom, so he was getting builds up of queues, and we was maintaining that, so just drip feeding people in, because normally when
it's hardly Elon Musk territory, that though.
Well,
is it, mate?
Well, when normally like people just filter in throughout the night, but when I arrive, there's a queue up to the end of the high street.
I saw a video of that. It looked quite crazy.
So needless to say, it was like everybody wanted to get in as quick as possible, and then the queues kept building and people were pushing in further up the queue, and so it was getting a little bit tense in places. So it was just trying to get them in as quickly but as safely as possible. And yeah, anyway, it was wonderful, and it was long, and yeah, and I got in and I was knackered. Proper.
Well, congratulations, mate. I'm glad you had a nice return to it.
Oh, it was lovely. Thank you.
Right. Was there any casualties of war?
No, not really. I thought there'd be people that hadn't gone out and drunk club drinking for a long time. But I think the fact that we decided not to reopen, all the other clubs reopened, maybe.
Yeah, so people, they bear the brunt of it.
They dealt with a vomit. So I think maybe we done well to sort of swerve that and sit it out a little bit longer, so everyone kind of got back, you know, into their stride a little bit. So it was just, yeah, it was just brilliant. It was really nice and so lovely to see lots of faces I hadn't seen for ages. And yeah, proper good night. Inspirational.
Oh, well, that's a really clever segue.
See what I've done.
top five people who inspire us today, as picked by the handsome gnome, Chris Glassham. Ooh. I came up with this one this morning, yesterday. So
hold your horses. Hold your horses.
What?
Let's hear from our sponsors. Right, I want to tell you about our sponsor, Moto Recall.
Yes, it's one of those lifestyle utility apps that every phone should have.
It's got the practical, the nostalgia, and the dream. From 18 to 118, there is something for you. It's what you make it.
Day-to-day reminders of tax and MOT on your cars you've in your current garage. I, for one, sometimes been driving around in my car not being MOT because I forgot. So it's a bit of a lifesaver.
Absolutely. I mean, never buy a second-hand car without knowing the history. You know, provenance. Moto Recall, make sure you aren't caught out by allowing you to perform a full provenance check on the vehicle. With just the car reg, is there outstanding finance? Has it been in an accident? Is the mileage legit? You'll get the full picture, powered by experience, with a data guarantee.
I wish I'd had that in the past. And with this app as well, you can build your historic garage with photos and data that you can not only look back on for yourself, but you can share it with your mates. You know, every car is a memory. You used to have that Cat in the Hat car. I'd love to have seen that.
I mean, if you don't have an historic garage, like, build out your dream garage. You know, what's caught your eye? What are you dreaming of owning?
And the best bit is free. Up to 50 cars and provenance checks are pay as you go when you need them. Experian aren't as nice as the Moto Recall team, of course.
Download the app for free. Search Moto Recall in your app store. MOTORECALL. Moto Recall in your app store. Hello, this is Chaz from Love Beer. And I'm here to tell you about why our sponsor... Hardcore Listening and what love-beer.co.uk does. I am a fully certified by the British Beer and Pubs Association for bar installation with a focus on home and office bars. I have loads of home bar clients who have really enjoyed the service during lockdown, as well as corporate office clients like Facebook and HelloFresh. I offer a complete solution from installing the bar equipment right the way through to keg supply. I also offer regular maintenance packages for those who want a bar without all the hassle.
Hello, this is Charles, also from Love Beer. I just want to also let you know I'm fully licensed to sell kegs. We can supply loads of different products from mainstream beers and ciders right through to trendy craft beers and even Prosecco kegs, all delivered to your bar by a certified technician.
Also, why I'm here, have I mentioned the Land Rover Beeries 3, which is a 45-year-old XMOD Land Rover Series 3 that we have done a complete restoration on during lockdown?
The 3 Beeries 3 is a custom-built high-performance bar hidden in the back of a Land Rover. The bar we have installed is capable of doing upwards of 500 pints per hour. We're about 4 to 5 weeks off having it all back together and ready to show it off. And I'll be launching an Instagram for it this week.
Nice one, Charles.
Nice one. Hello, I want to take a moment to shout out one of our wicked sponsors, Eggfried.com. They are a streetwear brand. They produce t-shirts, sweats, hoodies, handmade denims. It's all inspired by hip-hop, punk, choir fashion. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, head over to Eggfried.com and have a look on the website, because it's not just the design, it's the layout, it's the website. You know, the creative team over there are absolutely on point. There's just some great stuff there. And not just for adults as well. They've got Small Fried, which is their range of kids' clothes. And if you want your kid to just look beyond cool, like, head over and check that out. And they've given us a discount code, right, Chris?
Yes, Egg Salad. If you type Egg Salad into the discount coupon section, you get yourself a tidy little discount. And when they send out the stuff, it is packaged exquisitely. You get little goodies in there, stickers, and it's all wrapped up beautifully. So check out eggfried.com.
Okay, lastly, we want to thank, and certainly not leastly, we want to thank. Is leastly a word?
No, it's really not.
Right, we're going with it. We're going with it. So we want to thank Luke Van Boom. Luke Van Boom has a company called Bang Boom Creative. Luke is a long-time sponsor of this show and a friend of this show. If you see the pictures of Chris and I on the socials advertising this podcast, them happy snaps were taken by the genius that is Luke Van Boom. I mean, that's just the tip of what he does. Chris, do you want to explain a little bit more about what Bang Boom Creative does?
Yes, it's all about fresh, innovative production. So they're all about content with a heart and soul, making films of all kinds, shooting dynamic photographs and putting smiles on faces. They're passionate storytellers working with a diverse range of brands of all sizes. You know, their work includes short film, viral video, animation, hidden camera stunts, product demos, live action, 360 imaging and music promo. And they've worked with a ton of companies as well. Universal, BBC Children in Need, even the Mayor of London, Katie Piper, the NHS, the Dogs Trust. They've worked with a lot of companies.
It consistently blows my mind, you know, the stuff that you've just said there. Why does he have anything to do with us plums?
Stop talking him out of it.
Right.
There you have it. There's our sexy sponsors. Get it all sexy all over the town. Right. Top five inspirational people. I better turn off notifications.
Oh, I thought that was you've moved to Margate and bought wind chimes. I thought, come on.
No.
Too far, Chris. Too far.
That's mum on the move around the house. It's like, do you remember when Godzilla was Godzilla 20?
Have a think about
14?
What you said there. Do you remember when Godzilla, remember who you're talking to?
Oh, right, okay. Godzilla 2014 was released, and in part of the hype built up, they had on the web, you could go on and have, there was a Godzilla tracker around the globe, and he was moving around. I always tend to find that my mum's security cameras are a little bit like a Mamasaurus Rex sort of like sensors. Mm. So when as she you know stomps into the next room, I sort of like get another little alarm going off. But it's really reassuring if it's going off. I know mum's you know active and doing stuff. So there you go, inspirational people. I've ruled out myself and you.
What?
This, but yeah. Sorry, I know.
Well, fair enough. Because I thought it's going to be weird because as it unfolds, I just think I know that it's going to have that awkward moment when we're obviously both sort of face to face and you have to say me. And I'm just thinking, you know, I'm humble enough to take it.
Yeah.
And, you know, talk about it for an hour or so. But I don't necessarily want to make you do it. Do you know what I mean? I think both know, you know, that.
You'd be my number one, baby.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Your voice is so hysterically in your boots this morning. It's like you've been drunk about three bottles of wine.
Oh, dear.
All right, welcome to our core listening with Stuart Whiffin.
I'll loosen up, don't worry.
Go on then. Who's first? Who's going first?
I will.
Go on then.
My dog.
Right, setting the bar really, really low then with that fucking cunt. Go on, Zavi.
Rude. Well, I like the fact that people that kind of manage to get their way and beat the system and live a comfortable life, but still find little pockets of joy. So he don't do a lot, he sleeps a lot, right? We'd all like to do that. I'd like to be doing that now. You know,
well, you was.
And I know. Yeah, you woke me up. I was in the wrong. It's going to spoil my bank holiday weekend, that.
As long as we're both willing to accept that.
and he'll just literally get up, look at me, annoy me until I take him for a walk.
Yeah.
Then at any given point, it'll just take a shit, not give a shit.
Outside the house?
Anywhere, you know, pavement, park.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And then I have to pick it up in a little bag and walk along with a bag of shit in my hand.
His shit, it's incredible, right? Isn't it?
He doesn't give a shit, doesn't care. He has got to do, he's got his plan, he wants to do his thing. And I can't help but just find that quiet. I'd like to live my life like that. I'm not suggesting I want to go and shit in the field. But then once a week, you know, if I mow the lawn, I have to then go and pick his shit up from my garden. And he follows me out and he just sits there and he just watches me do it. And I just think, my dog's watching me pick his shit up. And occasionally I look up and he'll just like, won't necessarily be smiling at me because it's quite hard to see a proper dog smile.
Yeah.
But I can tell he's happy. He's wagging his tail. And I just think, you're winning, mate. Like, you've got nothing to stress about. Once I finish that, picking up your shit and putting it in the bin, and then I'm mowing the lawn, you're going to go and have another sleep until you wake up and I'm going to give you some food.
Yeah.
I just think...
It is winning, isn't it? It is like having a posh hotel. Like, cats are the same. They just do whatever the fuck they want. And then they just expect you to feed them. The only irritation about being a pet, why I don't want to be a pet, is I have to wait for you to feed me. Like, if I'm hungry, that's why animals are always stuffing their face when you put the food down, because they can't just pop to the fridge to have a snack. If they want some Lunchables, they can't just have them, can they? You know, if they want a pack of scampi fries, you've got to read their mind and then put down what you want. Oh, I'm starving. What you got today? Oh, dry mix. Oh, I wanted wet mix. Tough shit.
The thing is with dogs, like, they're also, if they could have, like, go to the cupboard and get a snack, they wouldn't just go, oh, look, there's a pack of six penguins there. Look, the chocolate bar, not actual penguins. He's not that horrible.
Been banned.
And he wouldn't have one. He'd have six. Then throw up on my carpet, and then I'd have to clear that up. And I'd probably feel a bit sorry for him because he threw up, even though he ate six penguins.
Yeah, it was his own fault.
Yeah, so you couldn't give him that freedom, you know, because they've got a... Yeah, they couldn't just have one and go. They've got that Rick Waller mindset, yeah.
That's why I control everything Molly eats and wears, just because you just can't give her that freedom, Stu.
Absolutely.
You know, she can have her phone when I think it's okay for her to phone someone. And there's parental guidance locked on the internet as well, because you just can't let people do these things.
Yeah,
can you?
Well, I get where you're coming from there. I was kind of focusing it more at animals, but you know, you got to do. It might change with Canties. You know, now you're down in Margate. I don't know what the deal is down that way. In Essex, generally,
it's PC culture gone mad down here, mate. You can't say stuff like that down in Margate. You can't joke about misogyny down in Margate these days. Can't have a real life. Can't be racist.
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy. Absolutely mad. Absolutely mad, lads. Do you want my number five?
Yeah.
Basildon Town Centre people. Yeah. Just all of them.
I've got some stuff to throw in the mix here as well.
There's nothing more inspirational. Right, so basically, there's two perceptions on this. There's
you coming down. You moved to Margate and you're throwing shit at your own tan.
So basically, there's two ways to look at this. There's the childish way that people look, and then there's hopefully as you grow older. Hopefully, it don't take you too long to take a different look at this. And
can we just do the childish one, please?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We often, like, I just did, like, you know, the old controlling partner joke. Obviously, it's disgusting. People do weird shit like that. And again, like, this approach, I'm going to say, isn't my beliefs. I think it was somewhat as a kid. Because you could sort of look down. Sometimes you see someone who's looking a bit rough around the edges, and you tend to look down on them.
Just
generally unkind towards other human beings. I certainly was to an extent. Mm. And then as I got older, my dad said, "They but for the grace of God go I," and I there but for the grace of God go I, which I still don't quite.
Slow that down and say that again.
I think the sentence is, "There but for the grace of God go I."
Go what? Hi.
I.
There but for the grace of God go
I. I'm just typing into Google. Go I. Let's see if I've got that sentence right. Oh, yeah, I think so. "There but for the grace of God go I" is an idiom. An idiom is an expression with an intended meaning that can't fully be understood just by looking at the words that comprise it. Oh, fuck me, right. These words and phrases have a figurative rather than literal meaning. Fuck me. Thanks, Dad. No wonder that didn't make so much sense as a fucking 9-year-old.
I'm picturing a little godlike cyclops on a cloud.
Okay, well, I'm not, for okay. once. I'm impressed. Cheers. That's what you managed to conjure in your mind. Congratulations.
Many thanks.
But Dad used to use it in terms of, like, when he would see people, like, down and out or whatever, like, you watch TV and people have had accidents or whatever, disabilities, like, you know, severe ones. And that's what he would say. And he'd say, you know, be grateful for, count your lucky stars with everything, Chris. And I kind of would a little bit, but I didn't really practice that very hard. And it's actually, like, when I'm in Basildon Town Centre now, I do, it does make, it inspires me and it makes me feel grateful for my situation. And when you're grateful for your situation, I think you're less likely to squander it. So, you know, sometimes you go down Basildon Town Centre and there's some people there who clearly have had a bit of a fucking shit life and haven't had the opportunities that I've had. And I know that you make your own luck within a certain sort of boundary. But, you know, some people get really fucking shit starts in life. They could have you as a dad. Imagine that. And, you know, ultimately, yeah, I was really lucky. So, actually, I find that in a way inspirational because it makes me count my blessings and want to sort of, like, do better as well.
Well,
like,
you have. You've got out of that shithole and you've now moved to Margate.
Yeah.
You're now
yeah.
rolling with, like... The cool hipster creatives and none of them fuckwits from Basildon that you had to endure growing up. Like,
absolutely.
I'm still stuck here, you know, I'm still in the thick of it, you know, day to day, like, treading my way through the shit that is my hometown.
Well, I want to keep your toe in, mate. You're my link back to the past.
Right. And, like, yeah. and again, like...
You do look like a link back to the past yourself, don't you? You look like the missing link between us and fucking Cro-Magnon man, I'd say.
I mean, I don't know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
Does he fight crime?
He does, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, I knew it was another one of your fantasy men.
What's your number four?
I'm going to throw my dad in there. I'm going to be serious and I'm going to throw my dad in there. Just purely because, you know, he's, he's very inspirational. He's someone that I've kind of got my approach to life from. Mm-hmm. And certainly my work ethic has come from watching what he's had to do in his life. And, you know, we was, you know, brought up in Tilbury, which is mm-hmm. never question working class that place is.
Mm-hmm.
and, it, you know, it's a poor place. It's a poor area. Yeah. It's a docking town. And that's where he worked.
Where did your dad work?
Down the docks.
Yep. So I don't know why I find that so funny.
Of course it's funny. But yeah, then I think when I was like maybe like 10, they started like getting rid of loads of people because what was happening at the docks was changing and he took his opportunity again and he took it. And then basically, he just set up a business, which I just thought, like, I didn't know anyone that set up businesses. Certainly not, you know, in where I lived and the people that, you know, I was knocking about. But I guess it was the, you know, the mid-80s, and I suppose that's early to mid-80s. So that was quite a time of, obviously, a lot of boom and, you know, in some areas. And you know, I guess it was very Thatcher heavy, he just set up a business and grew it and worked really hard and was doing like all sorts of part time jobs as well, not down the docks, kind of, you know, ensure that the bills were paid. And I think for somebody that was a working class kid from, you know, that was a docker, to then go and set up a business and have multiple outlets for that business, like, yeah, you know, he had like sort of three shops, and wow. And I just thought it was amazing.
That's so impressive.
And then obviously Thatcher being Thatcher, just fucking fucked it all over. And the recession kicked in and it crippled my dad's business. And
yeah,
we had a moment for maybe 3 years where we was quite, I wouldn't say wealthy, but we had a nice house. And that had to get sold, and all the businesses had to, you know, all went. And I just can't imagine, I think I would have been at that point maybe 14, and I can't imagine what that would have been like to feel that, to have lost everything you've worked at, everything you've worked for, and to then kind of, you know, and he's a proud man as well, and to then sort of, I mean, I was never privy to the conversations with, you know, that he had with my mum, of just going, I've got to shut it. We've got to sell our house. We've got to sell our cars. You know, we've got to find a smaller house, and we did. We moved back to we had to live with my grandparents for a bit, and then yeah, moved to a very very, you know, small humble house, and then, you know, he then got a job. He bought a franchise on a petrol station, but got fleeced on that. Turned out it was being like robbed
all the time,
and it was like armed robberies. And it was like, and so he had to sort of take the hit on that and get back out. And then he just built up another business and built that up to where he could then work from home with it. He had an office at home for the latter part of my teens, and until he retired a couple of years ago. And I just find.
Why is he still back down on the docks then? What's he doing down there?
He's not down the docks.
Oh, okay. Don't worry. Like, so I thought I saw him down there.
No. Okay. Like, why was you down the docks?
I'm a fucking fisherman, mate.
Oh, of course, yeah. My bad. But yeah, I just, you know, without getting too serious, I just think, like, I don't know if all of my shit went south, which very likely could have done over the last 16 months. Like, I don't know how I'd ever have them conversations with my family and say, house has got to go, you know, we can't go on holiday, we can't do this, we can't do that, because they're all things that, you know, you want to provide for your kids. And I just think that I wasn't privy to any conversations either. He wasn't ever saying, this is what's happening, this is what's going on. He just tried to make it as something that we didn't ever need to worry about.
Have
you know,
to worry about,
we was fed, and we was, you know, there's a roof over our heads, and you know, and we was loved. So I just think, to have all of that and just, you know, continue to do that. And he, you know, last night he texted me and he was just like, you know, best of luck tonight, mate. Like, I hope the club goes well. Like, you know, stay safe. Like, don't, you know, was it, you know, he was worried about me being up late and driving home tired and things like that. And it's just like, and I just think that's really nice. And it's like, you know, it's nothing different. That's what dads do, isn't it? But, you know, I'm a 48-year-old man, and like, and I just think, and it's really nice, and I still go to him for advice and for work things and things like that. And he's, you know, it's just, it's your dad, isn't it? Of course it is. You know, it's going to be someone that inspires you. So yeah, that's my number four.
Well, after that long fucking waffle, I mean, it should have been your number one. That's where my dad is. He's number one,
right?
But I just don't feel like I've got anything to add. Really, I just feel that it's pretty much mirroring what you say. But my dad is probably my biggest inspiration. I think my mum taught me how to be more empathic and kind, and my dad taught me all my other values that I took through into life, and I'm forever grateful for those. And a bit like your dad, my dad sort of like came from fucking nothing. He missed out a lot of school because he broke his arm, and back then, the sort of fracture he had, they had to take, it was a real bad shattering of the arm. They had to take bone out of like different parts of his body to get it back to normal. He was born with a hair lip, which at the time, you know, wasn't something that people just fixed very quickly. So he had a late start in life, really. And yet he went and worked on construction sites with a fucking hammer and bolster, banging out chases in breeze blocks for housing constructions, and eventually managed to learn the electrical trade and actually start an electrical contracting company. And you know, he was rich for a time. He was considered, you know, he'd been a millionaire in today's standards. I thought she lost it all, which he said saved him because he was basically becoming an alcoholic. He'd become unhappy, and really, although he'd done all that stuff, he hadn't really found meaning in it. And in many ways, that forged the man I knew as well, someone who was quite rounded and had to pick himself back up from losing everything. Like, his houses and that were just taken away. Well, one house, but it was a house he built that he loved dearly. And start back at doing nights at Ford's until he managed to build up a company, which, try as he might, never really, and with a load of inventions that he made with regards to within the flour milling industry and other ideas, he did a golf rules video, but could never get it passed off by the RNI or whatever they're called. He never sort of like got back to that sort of financial standing, but I never wanted for anything really. I'm not saying I was a rich kid and we never went to sort of like the States, did the Florida thing or skiing, didn't have that sort of money.
You weren't one of them like dirt bags that just walked around Basildon though, that you weren't that lot, was you?
We weren't a scum.
Right, just checking.
No, we weren't scum. We lived on the nice part of Basildon, obviously. Mm.
Where's that?
I'm joking. This is fictional. Of course I was scum. I feel like I never wanted for anything. And he taught me so many things about how to be honest and treat people. And yeah, I love him dearly, you know. I think that and the sort of like all the thinking stuff. Yeah, he's a good bloke. He was a good bloke. And easily the most inspirational person. Because every day I think about sort of like him and his lessons, I put them into practice. So, yeah, parenting, man, it's fucking important. It's really important. It really does contribute to sort of your opportunities in life. So, yeah, that's my number one. So we're going to your number three now, I believe.
Yes.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
I'm gonna say cunt in the gang.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because obviously he hasn't offered me the qualities that my dad offered me. However, he's somebody that every time I spend any time in his company, I feel fired up to do stuff. And I think it's rare that you meet someone that at a young age and you stay friends with them for so long, like 40 years. And I think, and I just love the fact that he doesn't give a shit, and that I can't ever do. I can't be that person, and I wish I could be that person. And you've got elements of that. And I haven't got that. I'm not that. I can't operate like that. I'm too, I don't know, pent up.
I don't think that's a negative quality though. Mm. I think you do need both, and I'm not on cunt's level at all. Cunt is more like one of my other people on my list, and I just think he's like, yeah, I don't think it's a negative quality. Yeah. I think you got to have people who are slightly more reserved. Absolutely, absolutely.
And
so yeah.
And yeah, and I love what he's done. You know, he's spent his whole life not having to, you know, we've all had to do jobs and things like that to sort of facilitate our more creative, you know, ideas and endeavours. And he hasn't, you know, he's just gone hard and just gone like, right, I'm going in here and I'm going to create Cunt and the Gang. And, you know, and that's been going on for a long, long time. And yeah. And to tour it and to do that on your own, drive around places and then go on stage in some hostile environments, looking the way that Cunt looks and singing the nature of songs, like, you need to be brave, you know? You know, I was in a, you know, a comedy band that me and him started many, many years ago. And obviously we went on and done it for years, but there was 9 of us on stage when I was gobbing off. And it's like, you know, you feel safety in numbers, but he's up there on his own. And every time I watch it, I'm just hysterically laughing. And just impressed and inspired by somebody that's just managed to beat the system. And I think that's not an easy thing to do, to be able to just do your thing, which is pretty out there, and make a really comfortable living out of doing that.
I always feel great around Cunt as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I bumped into him. I was with my dad, bizarrely, in Save Centre years ago. And it's just really nice to see him. And he's such a great bloke. I do get a real positive energy off that lad.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm where I'm sitting now, literally on my little mantelpiece in the bar, is the CD of Boris Johnson Is a Fucking Cunt. And I just think, at the blue, he said to me last year, oh, Roy, I'm thinking of seeing if I can get a Christmas number one. And like, and not at any given point did I just think, oh, what? I just thought, all right, okay, how are you going to do that? Like, how can I help? What can we do? Like, this is so fucking cool. Like, what are you going to do? I'm just going to sing a song just saying Boris Johnson is a fucking cunt. And top five hit. Top five. Looked like, you know, if it wasn't for streaming of, like, you know, retrospective Christmas hits.
Yeah.
That would have gone to number one. And, you know, how incredible to then do something as insane as, obviously he came on and spoke about it in the week leading up to that, he came on the podcast and, you know, and chatted about it. But to have that kind of, to have the balls to do that and then to pull it off and to then just, he's got all sorts of things in the pipeline, which I'm so excited about. And obviously he had that hit as the Cunts, not as Cunt in the Gang. It was with a band. And then only last week I lowered myself to go in with the Riff Raff in Basildon, and I went to the Edge and I watched him in his band play as a punk band rather than as a one man band with Mr. Gels on guitar, which was wonderful.
I really wanted to go to that.
Oh, it was fucking great! It was so good. Like, yeah, one of the best nights I've had in a long, long time. So yeah, always inspires me from whenever I'm in his company. Or whenever I see some kind of social media post from him, I just think, oh, fucking hell. Like, a lot of the time I do think, oh, fuck me, that's going to go wrong. Like, but, you know, yes, he says some edgy things, but never question how smart that dude is. Mm. Like, you know, there's a reason that he didn't go to school where we went. Oh, yeah, he went where you went, didn't he? Fucking hell, listeners.
I went, yeah.
You didn't go to school with a riffraff, did you?
No, my mum and dad literally like, you're not going to school round here.
Yeah, I think Cunt's parents were the same. I want to go to school with Roy. Nah.
Nah, yeah, that's what they said to me. Yeah, well, great shout. So I'm going to do mine in a bit of a weird reverse order today because I did number one, Dad. I'm going to do number two, which is like cunt, but I was going to go with Scroobius Pip.
Yes. Like I was obviously going to have him, but I just thought that.
You know, I can be quite horrible to him quite a lot of the time. And how can he not be inspirational? You know, he has given me so many great mixtapes, even for music inspiration over the years. And then just like that was like way before, you know, Scroobius Pip as we know him. And we always used to get up to just such good, funny projects and stuff like that. All the graffiti things we did around and, you know, the big campaigns on billboards and... what's that?
What?
I used to go and help him spray up stencils and shit like that in like South Shoreditch.
Well, that's illegal.
And what else? And yeah, the billboard campaign about freedom of speech. And, you know, I just think he's just such it's his positivity. Like, well, I was talking to him about wild swimming the other day. I was like, what do you have one of those dry robes when you get out of the thing? And he was like, nah, just the towel down and off I go, mate. And he was talking about why night swimming actually might be better because the water's a little bit warmer and stuff like that. And his attitude towards it was just so like him, just always turning it into a positive. Like, that's why it's better. And, you know, in and out, easy peasy, no fuss. And I just think...
Can I just interject on that bit?
Go on.
The dry robe thing,
right,
that's not him just... Like, A, he's probably too tight to buy a dry robe, right? Yeah. So he's just probably, you know, just using a tea towel or something like that.
Yeah.
He,
yeah,
more than anybody, needs a dry robe.
Yeah, he does.
It's so literally hairy. Like a wet dog getting out of the sea. but the dry robes that I've got, the one that you've seen when we've gone swimming where you it's like a big hoodie. Just
pop it over.
And you pull it over.
Yeah.
He watched me get stuck in it last time we went swimming. That's why he will not be going there. He saw how embarrassing that is, as I couldn't get it over my head, and literally he had to kind of like help me like you would like a child, like that's trying to brilliant. Get like, yeah, so that's exactly why he hasn't got a dry robe. A, they probably cost about 50 quid, and B, he saw the fucking absolute fucking mess I got in when I was trying to get out of mine last time me and him went swimming.
Fair enough. So that's put him off for life. But yeah, he's a super positive dude, hard working. His work ethic is second to none. He's very conscientious about everyone around him. And I just think that's just lovely to have a friend like that. I think Distraction Pieces, the record, was just, you know, I think that was, for me, was my favourite one of his records.
What about the podcast?
That's all right.
Right.
That's all right. I mean, I don't really listen to podcasts. It just seems like a lot of people just talking.
Yeah, overrated, really. Mate. Overrated.
It is overrated. And so, I just thought that record was amazing. I thought it was very inspirational. He's writing on that, and it reminded me a lot of, well, sort of like Poz and Sage Francis and Saul Williams, the sort of stuff that easily any of those guys could have made my top five for inspirational people. But it isn't. It's David Meads. Mm. He's my number two, so I'm going backwards, weirdly.
Oh, mate, like, absolutely. Like, you're right, he's so positive. And it's, if you've got anything on your mind, and with Pod Bible, like, there's three of us in that, and Adam and I have very different kind of approaches, you know. Adam's very methodical, and I'm a little bit more wee, a little bit more wall. And it's lovely having Pip in the middle, who's just... very much like, well, hang on, let's have a look at this. And like, and it's just, yeah, and I just think that's not just in that situation. I just think he's always kind of got a good, well thought out answer for everything. Mm. And don't get me wrong, half the time, if that's at your, you know, on the back of you saying something stupid, he'll bank that and he'll drop that at the right time. That could be 3 years down the line. He'll have it in his back pocket. But it is, you know, just to see what he's done in music and see what he's done in podcasting and everything else aside, just like, it's good fun to be around, isn't he? And I know we mug him off for not being fun. But, you know, when we're all out, well, the drunk cast's a testament to that. We have fucking great fun. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. He is a lot of fun. I just like to call him a boring old cunt.
Yeah.
But he's not that at all.
Hairy, though.
Hairy old cunt.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Well, sure. I mean, I'm really struggling now. This will be your number two then, won't it?
Yeah.
All right.
Tony Wilson.
Oh, yeah. Good shout. 24-hour party people. Is that Tony Wilson? Yeah, it is, isn't it?
I love how fucking panicky you got then as you said that.
Well, because I can't fucking... Just because I don't find facts worth remembering, you guys all seem to punish me for that.
Well, I've not mentioned it yet, but the Patreons picked up on it on the comedy one, and they were like, why did Chris keep calling Nathan Barley Nathan Bartley?
Oh, yeah. I want to say Bartlett all the time. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what it is. It's just it's just something in my head, and I can't. Yeah.
Don't go changing though, because it brings joy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Oh, I just think people know what I'm talking about. Bartlett. I don't know what is wrong with me.
They're meeting you in the middle with guesswork, mate. We're all right. We'll get through it. Tony Wilson, man. Like, I just think. Again, just absolutely inspirational. As you well know, there's a picture of him next to where I'm sitting right now.
Mm-hmm.
He died in 2007, and I was absolutely blessed to have met him in the most bizarre of places, and he confirmed just what a fucking dude he was. So for those that are not overly aware of Tony Wilson basically was a television presenter for, I think it was it Granada in Manchester? And basically set up a little club night, and then that went on to become, we then set up the label Factory Records. He signed Joy Division, he signed the Happy Mondays, Duritti Column, Certain Ray Show. God, I'm probably missing huge bands off of here.
Yeah, you are. Rush.
He did not sign Rush.
Squeeze. He didn't sign
none of them.
Hold on, big floppy donkey dicks.
Yeah, he did sign them. Not only did he have the coolest label with the coolest bands, he then opened the Hacienda, which I think is probably the most important club in the history of the UK.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm sure from sort of 87 to 89, 90, there was no place in the world you'd rather go clubbing than there. And I was never... lucky enough to go there. I was too young, but oh my god, what I would give to hear Voodoo Ray in the Hacienda. Fucking hell, yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I just loved his outlook on things. You know, there was never contracts with the bands. It was all kind of word of mouth. And yeah, obviously he was just so about Manchester and so about the community of Manchester, and I think that's just wonderful. And yeah, an absolute maverick. Obviously, post Joy Division, New Order. You know, he was working with Peter Saville to do these incredible record sleeves, and you know, the iconic Blue Monday record sleeve that famously cost something like 10p more to produce than what the record could ever make. So it was the biggest selling 12-inch record of all time, and they lost money on it. And that's called suffering for the art, you know, and I love that. Yeah, just absolute maverick genius. You know, just seeing the you know, I mean, fuck me, who would take a chance on Sean Ryder and Bez and that gang? You know, imagine how, I mean, it's well documented in 24 Hour Party People, the carnage that would have, you know, cost to have been involved with that band. But when you strip away all of the kind of madness and that, you've got fucking insanely amazing music. Then that early Monday stuff was incredible. Mm-hmm. And I just love the fact that Tony Wilson could see that and was just like, nah. Like, you know, and fanned the flames of all the kind of madness that followed with the Mondays, because it, you know, it all created the hype. And I just, yeah, I just think he's wonderful. And I was in France with my band in maybe 97, maybe 98, and at this music conference thing, and I bumped into him, and I just couldn't believe it. And I said to him, he said, why are you here? I said, oh, and it was a big kind of like this huge thing, like a kind of big event in this, lots of, all the labels were there, they're all on yachts, but we was in this conference center, and he was there for his thing called In the City, which was something he used to do in Manchester, like the Brighton, what's the one you went to in Brighton? What's that one called? Great Escape.
Great Escape.
So that was one of the first ones to do that up in Manchester. And he was there with that, you know, championing new bands. And he went, so why are you here? And I said, literally, we've just, like me and my singers just managed to get some cheap flights, and we've just got a bag of demos of our band. And he went, oh, that's amazing. He said, do you know anyone here? I was like, nah. Like, we're just like a couple of scroke kids. And he went,
no way.
And he went, right, come with me. And he just took us and introduced us to loads of people. And he didn't know, he hadn't heard our music. He didn't know us from Adam. But he was like, he just liked the fact that we took a chance and was out there trying to kind of make it happen. And now when you think, fucking hell, what more do you want when you meet your hero than him to just go, right, come on, let's go and make this happen. And like, yeah, amazing. Tony Wilson.
Great shout, mate. You're a bit, you do remind me, you're Tony Wilson-esque. I believe.
I ain't got a record label. I didn't sign the Mondays. And,
but fundamentally, you're a cunt.
Exactly, mate.
Would love to have ended the episode on that, but I'm going to do my third one now. Russell Brand.
Ooh, good shout.
I think Russell's inspirational because I've said this before. He has a lot of humanity, and he doesn't mind showing his weak vulnerabilities and actually apologising when he goes wrong. And just, I've started tuning back into Russell on podcast, not pod, well, on YouTube, basically. Where he does... And he is just really shaping up to be just such a wealth of, a multitude of learnings about humanity. And when I listen to him talk about any subject, he went not that long ago and spoke to someone who's hardcore conservative called Ben Shapiro, who actually is a very intelligent chap as well, a Jewish chap in America, conservative, and who has strong views on certain subjects. You know, some of these views I don't agree with, and lots of others of his reasoning, absolutely, you can understand his position, and I agree with it. And him and Russell, it's very rare that someone who's quite left, like Russell, and someone who's quite right can hold an intellectual debate, and the pair of them execute it perfectly. And how they position themselves, you know, before, you know, the conversation, you know, the things that they're going to talk about was just absolutely wonderful. And to be a person who can do that, and whenever you look at, you know, I've watched him talk about like COVID and a multitude of other scenarios, Afghanistan, he's so well-rounded. He feels like he's becoming more and more well-rounded all the time in his outlooks and his ability to see it from different perspectives and not be accusatory about everyone a lot of the time. And also, sometimes, still be able to introduce humour all the time throughout it. I just can't help but... I always find myself agreeing to a great deal of what he's saying. Eat more and more every year. I feel that he's developing and I learn things from him. And, you know, it's really nice to hear someone say stuff and share opinions that you have on these bigger issues. So, yeah, I just can't help but think, you know, he's an inspirational lad. He came from our ends. He's a fucking drug addict. You know, probably one of those scumbags I would see walking around the town. Fucking, he got to, you know, Hollywood. He wasn't a Hollywood A-lister. But he was well known around the world, you know, and married Katy Perry.
He
was close to it. I mean, he's not like an AA. He's not like a Tom Cruise who incidentally had a curry in Hertfordshire the other day.
And someone nicked his BMW.
Oh, did they really? Oh shit! Yeah. So yeah, for him to have got that far and to be and to actually be the person he is now, like someone who hasn't been sucked up in the vacuous nature of narcissistic Hollywood, and he could have gone that way and made a lot of money. He didn't. He went the other way. And I love him for that. So, yeah, Russell Brand, the legend.
Absolutely. And, you know, grew up literally end of my road, and you would, you know, I would see him about when he was young, and he was a kind of handsome, more sort of pretty, obviously short hair, not how he looks now, and you see him about, and you know, I think he was quite a sort of creative, like drama school kid. I believe he liked a bit of the drama, and you know, at grade school, and writes in his book about former guest Dennis Thompson, like, as you know, he talks about Dennis, they were good pals growing up, and seeing the fact that, and I like the fact that however educated he is and the words that he chooses, and he's very, very wordy, isn't he, Russell? And his language is brilliant, but he talks like us, and I like that. I like that you know, he doesn't. His voice isn't affected, you know. You know, his terminology is beautiful, and the way that he phrases things is lovely. But he's not trying to be something he isn't, and I love that. I think he's fucking incredible, Russell Brand. Yeah. Aside from anything else, one of the greatest fucking stand-ups you will ever see. He's my favourite stand-up by a mile, and it's a lovely segue into my number one. It's Darren Garwood. And
amazing.
And so Darren Garwood is a friend of mine, and he's an author. He's wrote the Jackson Superhero series of children's books, and Darren is someone that I've known. He's been on the podcast. I believe he's been on some of our friends' podcasts as well. And he's just, he's had to, you know, he's become inspirational through, you know, having to endure something that no one else should ever have to endure. And that was when his son Jackson was born. He was born with a very, very, very rare condition called Krabbe's disease. And it's going to limit young Jackson's life. And it's, you know, I think, And I mean, this is a great respect, when it was first diagnosed, I don't think they were expecting Jackson to live as long as he has. And, you know, and he seems very happy at the moment, and doing as best as Jackson can be, living with what he's got to live with. And I say as a parent, but I don't even think you need to be a parent to understand, like, what that must be like, to know that the time that you've got with your child is going to be limited. And I think you should never have to consider that. You should be wanting to watch your kids grow up. You know, I'm looking out my window, and it's my daughter's 16th birthday. I can see my other daughter's car, where she's just passed her driving test. And I look at that, and these are key moments that I think, if you never, ever think that they're going to be possible for your child. that, you know, you're not going to be able to do these certain things. I don't know how in a million years you can deal with that, how you can process that. And I'm not just Darren, I'm gonna mention Becca as well, his wife. And they're blessed with two other children as well, that haven't got Krabbe's disease. And it's the thing that inspires me more is the fact that Darren's found himself in such an awful situation, but has just tried to find a positive in that negative. And what he's done, if you don't know, is basically Jackson's got very, very sort of limited movement, and basically, you know, I guess the most movement that they're trying to get at Jackson now is a smile. And I think, again, like just on a day-to-day, how people would deal with that, I just can't comprehend it. But Darren wondered, when Jackson sleeps, can he do all the things that he can't physically do when he dreams? Mm-hmm. And so he put this book together called Jackson Superhero, where when Jackson goes to sleep, he really comes alive and can fly and can go and do all the things that, you know, maybe he couldn't do, you know, of a day. And it's like, it's a beautiful sort of alter ego for Jackson, and it's become I think a really lovely positive thing for Dale to do, to kind of maybe help, and I don't mean distract in any way. I've got to be really careful how I sort of frame this, yeah. but just giving him a focus and trying to do something positive, and part of that, you know, thing of what he's done with Jackson Superhero. I mean, I've literally can play you something really, really nice that Darren sent me, because he's just put out another audio book at the moment, and our mutual friend Gail Porter's just said some really lovely things about it. But it was Jackson's birthday last week, and
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Jackson. My hair. Happy birthday to you. Kittens are being born today. My kittens are being born today. Love to you, Darren, and the family.
Russell Brand.
Look at that.
Out of the blue, you know, every year, you know, what a fucking good man. And like, and Russell put on a concert at a big hall in Grays to raise money for Jackson. Didn't need to do that. He was at probably his most famous he'd ever been at this point as well. This was right in the middle of it all. You know, he's big, you know, superstardom. And he come to his hometown and he done a gig. Didn't make a penny out of it. Didn't tell anyone in the press what he was doing. And just gave a huge lump sum of money to that family to ensure that Darren, you know, didn't have to get a full-time job and could spend what time he had with Jackson. And incredible. Yeah, so Darren Garwood and there you go. Those people that ever give Russell Brand a bit of shit and just go, oh, fucking loony lefty, blah, 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 like, he's one of your own, and that's the sort of stuff Russell Brand does. And yeah, I know a lot of people that have issues with Russell Brand, and I will always go, let me tell you what he done.
I wonder how many of those people ever reflect on themselves and grow.
Yeah.
You know, can you reflect on your position and what you think of him now? Nah. Okay, well, that's a definition of stupidity. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
More for you, mate.
Yeah. What's your number one?
Good shout. Well, my number one we've already done, so this is actually my number four, because right. I did mine in reverse order, is Kay Tempest.
Yes.
So I've seen Kay, previously Kate Tempest. She I found a video from the Satin Lizard Lounge, which we put together, And off the back of that, that's when I offered to record it and produce it as an album.
Well, give us a bit of context, Chris.
Right, so Kate Tempest, now Kay, still is under Kay. They came out as non-binary. And we'd seen Kay perform loads. And every time I saw her perform, I was blown away. Out of all the spoken word crew, when we were in that... like in that sort of like world for years, Kay was at the top, in my opinion. She was the most passionate performer and so in love with Shakespeare and words, and her ability to deliver a performance was like second to none. It was just so inspirational for me. It just blew me away every time. I fancy Kay. Like I couldn't help but just be drawn to who they are. And Kay's come out as non-binary, and that kind of makes so much sense, really, I think. And that takes a lot of bravery and courage because of sort of like different people's opinions on that whole world, by which I'm obviously by no means an expert or informed to really talk about it. But there were so many different spoken word artists or performers to pick. Like, as I said, I nearly went with Sage Francis or Saul Williams, and indeed Pips, you know, falls in that bracket too. But I had to give a shout out to Kay. I just think that's why she was my number four. Every time I saw her, it just made me think, fucking, that's what you can do when you really throw yourself into something and have a real passion for something. That's the sort of results that you can have. And that's inspirational. Absolutely. She was the best. Is the best. I just don't listen to new music now, so I don't know what she's actually up to.
You should check out the Streatham version of People's Faces, because I think it's probably been my favourite, I would say my favourite track of the last 2 years.
Really?
It blows my mind, and there's a performance of Kay doing it at Glastonbury a couple of years ago, and it's just obviously as passionate as anything Kay does. And yeah, it's wonderful. It's just... that's the song. Put that on your headphones and walk through London and listen to that. I used to just, when I worked doing that marketing bit for a couple of days a week in town, when I walk through or get on the train, on the tube, I just have it on loop, and it just soundtracks it beautifully. It's such a wonderful record. Kay's incredible, man. Absolutely incredible. That's a great shout, mate.
One of my favourite artists. So there we have it. There we have it. Little podcast for y'all. Who are your favourite people of inspiration? Hit us up on Instagram. Tell us.
And look, we're all grown ups here. You know, if you want to say me, that's fine.
It's a drunken soiree in the Within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.